The first time I went to Vespers at Kirby Pines, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, stopped for dinner at the restaurant out there, and I saw Dr. Jimmy Latimer walking across toward the chapel. And I said, "Are you going to be in the service tonight?" He said, "Yes." I said, "If I'd known that, I'd have called in sick." "No," he said, "you would have studied." So when you preach behind Dr. Jimmy Latimer's pulpit, you study and you get nervous and you think about calling in sick. Mark chapter 11, verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it.' And immediately he will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing, loosing the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it. He sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And then this verse is so poignant. It's so poignant. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Everybody needs a Bethany. Some time ago, a young man walked from his apartment in San Francisco to the Golden Gate Bridge, paused for a moment, and then did what 1,500 others have done over the years, leaped to his death. His psychiatrist went with the medical examiner to the boy's apartment, and there on the desk lay his diary. They opened it and read his last entry. He had written, "If one person smiles at me, I won't jump." My grandson is a Marine, trained it out in California. What's that place out there? Who? Yes, of course it is. Thank you. Thank you. And as you know, their business is to make a man out of a boy. And the 56 hours at the end were particularly strenuous. And my grandson called it the crucible. They're trying to make a man out of a boy. And it's tough, little sleep. One of the boys, unfortunately, couldn't handle it. He shot himself. And when my grandson got home, He showed me a bag of letters he had received while he was at Camp Pendleton. He was so proud of those letters. He had gotten heard from his grandparents, his parents, his family and friends. He hadn't written many letters because he didn't have much time to write letters. He was proud of those letters. I said, did the boy who shot himself, did he get many letters? No, he said, he didn't get any letter. Because everybody needs a Bethany. There's a verse in the Bible that says, woe to him who is alone when he falls. Somewhere I read this line, those who do not build friendships in the spring and summer of life will find winter a long time. It is perhaps inappropriate, if not rude, to talk about yourself or your family in church. And I won't do it again. 3 or 4 years ago, my wife was diagnosed with lymphoma, and the pills didn't work, so they suggested chemotherapy. And I went with her that morning and got her hooked up with needles and pins and tubes, and then we sat there for 2 hours and listened to that machine over there on the corner humming away, doing what machines like that do. When I looked across the room, I said, well, that's Bobby Eubanks. Bobby Eubanks is sitting over there with Rosemary. We're both trying to get our wives well. And I thought to myself, we're not alone. We weren't alone. And you see, you and I won't get to the finish line if we try to do it alone. Everybody needs a Bethany. Let me tell you the story. You know, we have a tendency to gloss over reality, to doctor it up, to make it appear to be something it is, kind of like in politics. We paint pictures that aren't real, with dazzling colors that are deceptive. We disguise facts that are mostly fiction with a sort of verbal sleight of hand, trying to make something look good when it really isn't. Change it, you see? Take Christmas, for example. Billion-dollar industry in this country. Sights and sounds and magic and music and dinners and gifts and trips to grandma's house. But the first Christmas was not like that. Little Jewish girl, she's pregnant, not married. According to Moses' law, she should have been stoned. It's tax time. And Joseph, who has betrothed her, brings her down to Bethlehem on the donkey. And they come down and they arrive in the late afternoon and they come into the inn. They didn't have Holiday Inns or Sheraton Inns or nice places. The inn was just a room and the folks lived here, and then down this hall are the cows. And Joseph comes in with his little teenage pregnant girlfriend. He says, do you have a room? They said, no. Everybody's come to the county seat for it's time for taxes, and everybody's come, and there's no room. And then the innkeeper's wife said, babe, the little girl couldn't we do something? And he said, well, let's go down this hall and maybe make a room down there where the cow is. And they took the little girl down there, and without a doctor or a midwife or medication, she gave birth to the Son of God. And they wrapped him in little swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. When Herod the king, who was not a nice man, he killed his two sons-in-law, he killed his mother, he killed his two sons, and when he knew he was dying, he had a number of citizens arrested with the order that when he died, they should be executed so somebody would mourn, because no one would mourn his death. When he learned that a little baby had been born who was to be the king, he said, "We've got to do something about it." And so they said, every little baby boy under 2 years of age is to be put to death. That's the way Jesus started out. Then he went down to Egypt and then up to Nazareth where he was raised. And sometimes we forget his childhood. Read about it in the 69th Psalm. Mary is a scandal. They suspect she was impregnated by some Roman soldiers marching across Galilee. And she is the joke at the bars. The drunkards laugh about it. Read it in your Psalm. And Jesus' half-brothers, shall we say, and sisters, they don't believe in him. In fact, one time they came to where he was speaking and said, we've got to do something about this because he's out of his mind. And then in Luke, the fourth chapter, Jesus begins his public ministry. And he opens to the book of Isaiah, where he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach." And then Jesus said, "This is talking about me." And those people in Nazareth said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And they tried to put him to death. First, tried to put him to death in Bethlehem. Now they try to put him to bed up here. It's the way he gets, that's the story of Jesus. Now we come down toward the last period of his life. And Haddon Robinson, the great preacher, it's interesting. He was listed as one of the 20 great preachers of the last generation. He said, "There are no great preachers. We just have a great Christ." Haddon Robinson. Preaching little Baptist church someplace, and following the service and the dismissal, people are filing out. And he picks up his Bible and walks down the center aisle for the door, and he finds a little lady sitting on a back seat. And he stops and asks, "Well, how are you doing?" To which she replied, "Well, I'm doing fine." And then he asks, "But how are you really doing?" And she burst out in tears. And he did what your pastor would have done. He sat down and for 1 hour listened, and they talked, and he prayed. Because everybody needs a Bethany. And now Jesus comes down to the last weeks of his life. And it's a busy time. We've read about the triumphal entry. And we've read about the Passover and the Last Supper. And the betrayal, and the denial, and the appearance before Pontius Pilate, and now the crucifixion. Now, Jesus never spent a night in Jerusalem, although Jerusalem was his. Someday he shall reign from Jerusalem. Amen. We can hardly wait, right? But he never spent a night there, because it was under the control of the Roman Empire, and the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders and the religious people who didn't like Jesus. And so when Jesus would come down from Galilee to Judea, he would spend the night in Bethany. Bethany was the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Bethany, a little town on the eastern slopes of the Mount of Olives, about 2 miles from Jerusalem. And Jesus would spend the night in Bethany. Never spent a night in Jerusalem. And in these chapters we're reading here, he comes down toward the end of his life and he's teaching in the temple, and then he goes down and spends the night in Bethany. Because in Bethany, he found some friends. Martha, who was my wife, she got a kick out of the sermons that always talked about Martha being encumbered because she was always in the kitchen cooking dinner and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. But they got along, and then Lazarus, and they would come and sit and talk, and it was a safe place for Jesus. You see? They would shut the door, and they were safe, and they would have dinner, and they were talking about the kingdom of God. And now he approaches the last few days and weeks of his life, the Last Supper. Look at that Last Supper. Judas is there. He's already made the arrangement to get those 30 pieces of silver. He's got the money in his bag. Peter is sitting across the table, doesn't know it, but by morning he will have denied Jesus 3 times. At the end of the table are 2 disciples who are arguing about who was to be first in the kingdom of God. And Jesus is sitting there knowing that before noon tomorrow, he will be on the cross. Bethany was the place he went for solace and safety and strength. And may I say to you, my friends, you and I will not make it to the finish line without some help to see Jesus coming down the hall. And now he's on the cross. And we never get over it. His back is lacerated. His brow is bleeding from the thorns. Spittle and tears flow from lips and eyes. A gash in his breast from the sword. Hands in his, nails in his feet. Judas has betrayed him. Peter has denied him. The world has rejected him. And he's on that cross. And I've often thought about that. He's waiting for one thing. He's waiting for that voice. You remember how he began his public ministry? He goes into the Jordan River and says to John, he said, I need to be baptized. John protested, but Jesus said, so it fulfills all righteousness. And Jesus was baptized, and then coming up out of the water, the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. And the voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. And then just a short time before Jesus dies, he goes with Peter and James and John to the Mount of Transfiguration. And he is transfigured before them. And he appears in flaming, breathtaking white. And the voice comes down from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now Jesus hangs on the cross. He has been betrayed, denied, rejected, but he's waiting for that voice. If one more time he could hear that voice, this is my beloved Son. Rejected by his own. He came into his own, but his own received him not. Think about it. He came to his own, but they rejected him. His people, with all of their history, expecting the Messiah, and the Messiah comes, and they reject him. And he comes. Now he's betrayed by a man who's walked with him for 3 years, and he's been denied now by a man who said, I'll go to the cross with you. I'll be standing out at the foot of the cross. He was not near the foot of the cross. Betrayed, denied, rejected by the world, and he's waiting for that voice. But the voice never comes. Because it pleased the Lord to bruise him. As difficult as it is for our ears to even listen to that thing, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. God has put on him the iniquity of us all. Can you imagine that? He who knew no sin becomes sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he's hanging on that cross, waiting for that voice, and the voice doesn't come because his Father has turned his face from his Son. And I don't want to make too much of this. But you remember that Jesus was human and he was God. All God, all human. He was the God-man. There's never been a God-man like that before. And in his humanity, hanging on that cross, peering down on that cross to see if Peter's down there in support, is James down there? And no, they've almost all gone. And I have wondered if in his humanity, in his humanness, he doesn't go down to Bethany. That was the safe place. That's where he went when the scribes and Pharisees tested him, tried to trick him in some of his answers. And he goes down to Bethany in his humanness, you see? And then as he hangs on that cross, betrayed, denied, rejected, now forsaken in his humanness, he goes down to Bethany. So one more thing. Remember, before Jesus died, one of those last events that happened, Mary anoints him with that rich perfume. It cost a lot of money. And Judas and others said, why did we squander this on? Why didn't we take that, sell it, give the money to the poor? Jesus said, don't criticize her. She has anointed me for my burial. And in the closing moments of Jesus' earthly life, he goes down to Bethany in his mind. And the smell of that perfume in his soul. Everybody needs a Bethany. You be a Bethany. You be a safe place to somebody. You open up your heart. Don't let somebody suffer alone. The thoughts and prayers and gifts and calls and all of these things are so important. Close with a little story. Mother and her son lived together in a house up in the northeastern part of the country. Her husband and the boy's father had died. And it was like it is right now, difficult to buy a house, long years ago now. And she said, now, son, you need to just stay with me for a while. And over a period of time, he fell in love with a girl and they got married. And she said, you can move into this house. It's a big house. We'll make an apartment upstairs. I'll stay there. And you and your wife can have the whole house. And they did. It was a good arrangement and went on for a time. And she loved to sit and visit with her son. Mother and her son have a particularly close relationship, and they would just sit and visit. But in the nature of things, as time went on, he would spend more and more time with his wife and less time with his mother. Then one day on his birthday, he brought a big box, gave it to his mother, and she opened it, and it was a beautiful new dress for her birthday. And she opened it, and his son looked at his mother as she looked at the dress, but there was something missing. And he said, is it the color is not right? No, she said, the color is fine. She said, what is it? Size? Then he took out the sales slip. He said, if this doesn't fit, you can take it back. And then she went to the closet and opened the door and looked and said, look, there are more dresses in this closet than I can ever wear. I will not live long enough to wear them. But she said, I don't want yours, I want you. And you know, that's what Jesus wants from us. There's some place in the Bible where Paul the Apostle says that he wants to fill up the sufferings of Christ. May we be a friend to Jesus and a friend to the people. You be a Bethany to somebody. And in that way, bring comfort and cheer to the heart of Jesus. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for your word, the life and times of Jesus, the example, but more than that, his life poured out for our sin covering. May we in this blessed fellowship and community, Redeemer Church, may we be a Bethany to somebody. May we be a safe place for someone along the road. Make us strong and keep us strong and safe until the day dawns and the shadows flee away. We pray this in the name of him who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, Jesus Christ. Amen.